You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
All right, Raider Nation, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast, and this is a Sunday slash Monday edition, and I just had to knock this out on Sunday because, well, we all know the big news that happened that broke overnight. Matter of fact, Saturday night, Central Time, 11:40 p.m. Central Time, I had stayed up all day long, kind of checking the updates, checking all the news throughout the NFL, seeing what was going on with the Antonio Brown news. Nothing breaks. Finally, I say, you know what? Fine. Just gonna go to bed, worry about it tomorrow. The minute I decide to go to bed, 11:40 at night, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. All of a sudden I start getting all kind of alerts. Antonio Brown to the Raiders, done deal, third and a fifth round pick. That was at 11:40 at night. And I'll tell you one thing, Raider Nation, before we even get into the teeth of the podcast today, I felt 100% better about the trade on March 9th / March 10th, depending on what time zone you're in, than I did on September 1st, 2018. And we all know what trade I'm talking about, September 1st, 2018. When I woke up, it was a Saturday morning, looked at my phone and saw the news about a certain player of the Raider Nation leaving the Raiders and headed to the Chicago Bears. I'll tell you right now, man, I was able to sleep easy. I didn't respond to hardly any texts, tweets, or anything. I know my mom texted me and said, hey, you were right, AB to the Raiders. And I said, yep, and the compensation's not bad. Good night. And that's all I responded to. And then I woke up on Sunday morning after the clocks went forward an hour. So hopefully you were on top of that. You sprung forward. Back in the day, I used to use that as an excuse to be late for work for an hour. But now that all the clocks basically do it on their own, you can't use that excuse. But I did. When I worked at the grocery store back in the day, man, I'd be an hour late to work every single time we had to spring forward just because I knew I had that built-in excuse. But we can't do that these days. But anyway, it was Sunday morning. I woke up. I looked at my phone. I had 25 tweets that I had missed. I had 5 direct messages that I had missed, and I had about 8 to 9 text messages that I had missed, not to mention a bunch of alerts on my phone. And I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, it felt so much better than it did on September 1st, 2018. AB to Oakland, finally done. That's why I had to jump into the lab on Sunday afternoon just to go ahead and knock this out and get this podcast out there right now, because I know Raider Nation is all buzzing right now. The Raiders give up a 3rd round and a 5th round pick for Antonio Brown, and they rework his contract, his final 3 years of the deal. And like I said, it broke about 11:40 p.m. Central Time. So the new contract, we all knew that Antonio Brown wanted to be paid the highest paid wide receiver in the league, and he did that successfully. 3 years, 50.125 million with incentives. It could be up to 54.125 million, 30 million guaranteed for a dude that is one of the best wide receivers in the league. And I look at those numbers, and some people could look at it and say 30 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money for a 31-year-old. Look, if the Raiders had held on to Amari Cooper, they were going to have to pay him a lot of big time money as well. And he is not actually proven to be a number one wide receiver. And I'm not throwing shade at Coop because I like Coop, but Antonio Brown has proven to be a number one guy. And now he is a true, legit number one wide receiving threat for Derek Carr. You can argue and say he's never had that. He absolutely does. He absolutely does. We all know who Antonio Brown is, and we all know what he is capable of doing. So basically, this is what happened over the last year and some change. The Raiders traded Coop and a 3rd and a 5th round pick for Antonio Brown, a 1st round pick, and a contract restructure. I'm sorry, Raider Nation. I could live with that. I could live with that and salute that. My biggest concern for this whole trade, the whole time we've been talking about this on the podcast, and we've been talking about this for months. Months, not just weeks, not weeks like some of the media, but we've been talking about it for quite a while, going back and forth, should the Raiders acquire AB, and I was 100% against it because, one, I thought they were going to have to give up some of their first-round picks. I didn't want any of the first-round picks to go, and I really said I don't want the second-round pick to go either, but I'm being greedy, and if I have to give up the number 35 overall, I guess I can live with that. Well, I don't even have to worry about that. They gave up a 3rd and a 5th. A 3rd is what they gave up for Martavis Bryant. We all know he had no production with the Raiders in 2018. And a 5th round pick? Okay, that's fine. I mean, you can get some quality players in the fifth round. I mean, look, Mo Hurst came out the fifth round, but I'm still okay. A third and a fifth, I am absolutely 100% fine with them giving up a third and a fifth for arguably one of the best wide receivers in the league. I'll look at it right now and say DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and I know there's another stud that I'm missing, Michael Thomas. So, I mean, look, there's four or five guys that are legit, real deal, bona fide number one wide receivers, best in the league, and Antonio Brown is definitely one of them. I'm excited. I'm excited because now, depending on what the Raiders do in the draft and the rest of free agency, they can really have a real deal offense. And I think that the Raiders are making it perfectly clear that they plan on buying their offense and drafting defensive dudes to help build that Paul Gunther defense. But they already made the trade for AB. They restructured his contract, gave him the money that he wants. He's going to go in there motivated with a chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove why he deserved that money. I mean, that's just who he is. He's got that work ethic that Gruden loves. And he's going to go in there, and I think he's going to have something to prove, and I can't wait for him and Derek Carr to get to work. And as a matter of fact, and you'll hear it in segment number two, Drew Rosenhaus did an interview on NFL Network with Andrew Siciliano, and he actually said that Derek Carr was part of the reason why this trade went through. So you'll hear that in segment number two. I got that whole interview that I want you to hear. Right now, there's another piece of audio I want to play for you, and that is John Gruden, the love he has for Antonio Brown. Before the Raiders played the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2018, Gruden was talking about Antonio Brown, and I've mentioned it on this podcast many times how he's compared him to Jerry Rice and said he's got the work ethic of Jerry Rice, but I just want you to hear it, just in case you've never heard it. I want you to hear it for yourself. John Gruden talking about Antonio Brown. This is back in December of 2018.
So what's the greatest thing about this man is I've told all our receivers, if you get a chance to watch him practice, you'll see what unlocks the greatness in him. He's the hardest working man, I think, in football. Hardest working player I've ever seen practice. And I've seen Jerry Rice. I've seen a lot of good ones. But I put Antonio Brown at the top. And if there's any young wideouts out there, I'd go watch him practice. And you figure out yourself why he's such a good player.
All right, just short and sweet right there. But again, just let you know how much respect John Gruden has for Antonio Brown. And that's the reason why we all knew, and something we talked about many times on this podcast, that the Raiders were definitely going to go after Antonio Brown because he looks at him as a young Jerry Rice. And look, he picked up Jerry Rice when he was 31 years old, and we all know the production that Jerry Rice had with the Raiders. Had some really good years with the Raiders. Now, he didn't have the Seattle Seahawks years, the Jerry Rice with the Seattle Seahawks or the Denver Broncos. No, he had some really good years in Oakland under John Gruden. Even had the real good year under Bill Callahan, but that was John Gruden's offense that led him to the Super Bowl, and we all know what happened in the Super Bowl. But either way, man, Jerry Rice did some great things at an older age. Tim Brown did some greater things at an older age in John Gruden's offense, and I expect the same from Antonio Brown. I'm looking at least 1,000 yards receiving. That's my expectations as of March 10th, 2019. I'm expecting at least 1,000 yards receiving from Antonio Brown, just out the gate. And I know he's going to receive double coverage. They're going to have safeties cheating over the top. That means other guys are going to be open, other guys are going to be available. But I expect John Gruden to get into the lab and really work on getting the ball to Antonio Brown. Because after he gets the ball in his hands, anything is possible. This is a win-win-win for the Raiders. I'm super excited. I'm super amped. I cannot believe that they pulled off the third and a fifth. Give Mike Mayock a lot of credit. Give John Gruden a lot of credit. We have gone in on John Gruden about what he's done since he's taken over with the Raiders, but you got to give him a lot of credit. He did not cave. He did not give up that first-round pick and say, oh, well, we got a couple other ones. We're just going to roll with that. No, they held their ground and gave up a third-round and a fifth-round pick for Antonio Brown. That is a win, Raider Nation. I don't care. You can go on Twitter and there's a lot of people hating, oh, this makes no sense, and oh, the Raiders are dumb, or oh, Antonio Brown is dumb. Don't worry about those cats. They're just wondering how the hell the Raiders pulled it off and nobody else was able to. Obviously, he didn't want to be a member of the Buffalo Bills. Again, you'll hear that in the interview coming up in segment number two with his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. He doesn't say it specifically, but if you hear what he didn't say, you'll understand exactly that Antonio Brown did not want to be a member of the Buffalo Bills, but he was open and willing to be an Oakland Raider. So very excited about that. Obviously, the Raiders going to Vegas, he's going to love that as far as the tax goes and not having any state tax. That also plays into it as well. Antonio Brown ain't no dummy as far as how to protect his money. That's for sure. So obviously, this whole episode is just going to be about Antonio Brown becoming a member of the Oakland Raiders, a deal that cannot be official until Wednesday. That's actually the start of the new league year, March 13th, but it's all good. I mean, we all know that it is a done deal. We know the compensation, and we know that the contract that Antonio Brown is receiving from the Raiders. And again, I'm okay with that. Matter of fact, Amari Cooper is looking at that smiling because he's going to get paid very, very well by the Dallas Cowboys, and he probably isn't going to have the production that Antonio Brown's going to have. So I feel like the Raiders really came out on the winning end of that deal with the Cowboys and obviously with the Steelers. I think the Steelers won as well. Look, they turned a 6th-round draft pick into a 7-time Pro Bowler, a guy that had over 11,000 yards, had a bazillion touchdowns. I mean, he was a 6th-round pick, Raider Nation. Think about that. So the Steelers did really well, and then they flipped him and got a 3rd-round and a 5th-round pick for him. But they're still taking on, what, 21-point-something million in dead money in 2019 for Antonio Brown. So, I mean, they didn't win. I feel like the Raiders won the trade, but overall, the Steelers drafted Antonio Brown and flipped him from a 6th-round pick into one of the best wide receivers in the league, a definite Hall of Famer when he's done, when he hangs it up. They won as well in the long run. The Raiders, they're going to get him for like the next 3 years, and we'll see what he's got. But I think that he's really going to do some real good things for John Gruden, that offense, Derek Carr, that offense, and we'll see how it goes. Now, who else will the Raiders bring in? That's the next question. Who else will the Raiders bring in with free agency? Obviously, tampering period opens up on Monday, March 11th. Again, this is being recorded on Sunday, March 10th, because, well, why not? I'm so excited, I might as well just jump up out of bed, jump up out the house, go to the radio station, jump in the lab, and just talk about this, because this is a big day for the Raiders, big day for John Gruden, big day for Mike Mayock, and I'm just excited about it. So coming up in segment number two, GM Mike Mayock, he had some high praise from AB's agent Drew Rosenhaus. He has an interview with Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network. You want to hear that? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Sunday, March the 10th, 2019. Yeah, again, had to get in the lab a little bit early, got in on this Sunday afternoon to knock out this podcast, talking AB, talking all things AB, because I think Raider Nation deserves it a little bit earlier. So normally I'd drop it on Monday morning, but I'm going to drop it later on this afternoon. It will be up, and hopefully you get a chance to listen to it. If not, well, you can listen to it on Monday and get the same effect. But just had a lot of thoughts going through my mind, so I definitely wanted to go ahead and drop them immediately and drop them a little bit early. And I will say in segment number one, I talked about a whole lot of good things about this Antonio Brown trade and how I was pretty pumped up about it and how I feel like the Raiders did a great job getting a 3rd and a 5th. And also, I'm excited that Mike Mayock did a hell of a job, and you'll hear about that. Why I say that, you'll hear that in a few minutes. Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network actually interviewed Drew Rosenhaus, who's the agent for Antonio Brown, on NFL Network on Sunday morning. And he has some really good things and high praise for Mike Mayock. So you're going to hear that. I think it's good for Raider Nation to hear that. But I didn't talk about anything that could be bad, any potential bad. So before I get into the interview, I do want to say, now that Antonio Brown is a member of the Raiders and he's wide receiver number one, it is John Gruden's and Derek Carr and whoever else might be throwing the ball, it is their job to get him the rock. That is going to be very important because everything is sunshine and roses and puppy dogs and ice cream and all that good stuff right now. Everything is great. Like, when I had a good day back in the day when I was a kid, my dad used to take me to Baskin Robbins all the time. I'd always get, like, either a chocolate malt made with vanilla ice cream or something. That would be, oh, that's a really good day, man. We're having a really good day. Also, it'd be a setup sometimes. He'd take me there when he had to break some bad news to me or he had to discipline me. He'd take me there without me asking. And so then I would kind of know, like, oh, man, hold on. Something bad's about to happen because he's taking me to Baskin Robbins and I don't know it. And I didn't ask for it. So this is what I'm saying. This could be the potential bad news. This is like going to Baskin Robbins without asking for it. If he's not given the rock, if he's not fed the ball, if he feels like the game plan is not coming towards him or the quarterback's not pulling the trigger, and look, I only bring this up, Raider Nation, because we saw it. We've seen it happen. It's something that every one of us as fans have complained about. Oh, Derek Carr is just checking down. I know a lot of times that's the game plan, get the ball out of his hand quickly and not make mistakes, so check it down to Jalen Richard or something like that. I get that. But when you have and you acquire an Antonio Brown and you give him $30 million guaranteed, you got to give him the rock, Jack. You've got to feed him the ball at some point. And I'm not saying you got to force it to him, because I think that's what the Cowboys' mistake was. I think the Cowboys force feed the ball to Amari Cooper, and sometimes it results in Dak Prescott throwing bad passes or throwing interceptions, untimely ones like end zone interceptions. I don't want the Raiders to go out and do that. But look, he is wide receiver number one, so you have got to show why he's wide receiver number one. He's going to do his part. He's going to get open. That's one thing I know about AB. He's going to get open. He runs some of the best crisp routes in the league. He will find a way to get open, but you've got to find a way to get him the ball one way or the other. I don't care if you're going down the field. I don't care if it's a short curl. I don't care if it's, you know what I mean, across the field. He'll do all that. He'll go through the muddy waters. He'll do all that stuff. If you got to throw it to him behind the line of scrimmage, like a couple years ago, the Raiders did with Amari Cooper a lot. They give him a little bubble screen, and all of a sudden, he'd get those yak yards. Next thing you know, he'd be in the end zone. Like, how the hell did that happen? You know what I'm saying? It don't matter how you get him the ball, but you got to get him the ball. That's what you have to do. So that's John Gruden's job, is to get him in the right position, and it's Derek Carr's job to pull the trigger. If not, it could be all bad. And I mean, it could be all bad. We know Antonio Brown could flip out at any time, especially now that he's already got his money and he's got the guaranteed money. Yeah, he don't need this game. Remember, he said it himself. I don't need this game. I could walk away from it. They're going to play by my rules. So we all know that there's an edge to him. He's going to have an ability to flip out at any moment if he has to. One, he's very passionate, so I can respect that. But two, he's going to let it be known that, hey, I'm the dude. You need to feed me the rock. I mean, don't think that he wasn't looking at Juju Smith-Schuster a little side-eye in Pittsburgh. Not him personally as a dude, but, hey, wait a minute. Why is this young cat getting all these targets and getting, you know, all this attention, and I've been up here grinding for years, and all of a sudden you ain't showing me the love? You know, I mean, he's looking at him a little sidewise. Look, this is two guys that both went over 1,000 yards, both had over 100 catches over the season. There's plenty of balls to go around. Don't get me wrong. But he's going to have to get his. So Derek Carr is going to have to get on the same page with him. As soon as it's available for them to get there and start working together, I don't care if they're working out at Derek Carr's front yard. I don't care where they're working out at, but they need to go make it happen. They need to get on the same page and figure out what each other one likes to do and take advantage of the talent that is Antonio Brown. So that is something to be cautious about. But again, I think it's a good problem to have. Again, and I didn't mention OBJ in the first segment as one of the best wide receivers in the league. He definitely is as well. I don't want you to think that I'm giving him any shade. And who knows where he'll be playing in 2019. There's a good chance it won't be on the Giants, so that should be interesting as well. Now, I don't want to take away any more from this interview, so let's jump into it right now. It's about 5 to 6 minutes. It's Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus. He was on NFL Network Sunday morning with Andrew Siciliano. Some really good nuggets in it, including how new GM Mike Mayock did in the negotiations with Brown's agent. Here it is. Check it out.
3 years and $50.1 million, max value of 54 if you include the incentives. It's 30.1 guaranteed. And the man who helped put that deal together, the agent for Antonio Brown, Drew Rosenhaus, joins us now live on NFL Network, a free agency frenzy. I'm Andrew Siciliano. Drew, thanks for joining us. How did this thing come together Saturday night?
Well, the trade talks have been ongoing for quite some time now. Things really heated up with the Raiders about 48 hours ago. The Steelers gave the Raiders permission to speak with us. Apparently, the Steelers and the Raiders reached an agreement on compensation. And as everyone knows, since Antonio was going to be traded, we were looking to adjust his contract. And in talking to your very own Mike Mayock, by the way, Mayock is a very, very talented general manager, and he's a tough negotiator. Any chance you guys would take him back? He was a hard guy to strike a bargain with.
I mean, we love Daniel Jeremiah, but, you know, we'd always love to have him back. He was great in the booth at the combine, Drew.
He did a good job. You guys would have thought that Mike Mayock was a veteran NFL general manager. This is my 31st year. You would never know that this was his first year as a GM. He was very sharp, and he was very professional, and it was good working with him. He actually worked on Antonio's deal with me.
Drew, would this have been done without the new contract? Does he like John Gruden and the Raiders enough to have said, yes, I'll go, if they didn't redo the deal?
Well, you know, rather than dealing with hypotheticals, let me just say it worked out great. It was a win-win because, you're right, John Gruden was a big part of this, as was Derek Carr. I mean, certainly Antonio is a great receiver, one of the best of all time. But it's hard to reach your potential if you don't have an offensive coach or a quarterback that can help you execute. So we're thankful that Antonio got a new contract. We're thankful that he's with Raider Nation, one of the marquee franchises in the NFL. And we're very excited that he's got a terrific coach and a terrific quarterback. Those things are very important. You know, when you play for so many years with Ben Roethlisberger, you know, I think it's important that you continue to have outstanding quarterback play.
Let's talk about that, Drew. For the fans waking up in Pittsburgh this morning, who knew this might have been inevitable, but had hoped there would have been a way to work it out. Why wasn't it salvageable there?
Well, you know, Antonio had 9 great years, Andrew, and that's probably longer than 99% of the guys in the league. It was a terrific love affair between Antonio and the Steelers. We worked on 2 contract extensions. He was a 6th-round pick. He had unprecedented success. But really, at the end of the year, things fell apart. And Antonio really felt it would be in his best interest, and we talked about it, to get a fresh start. That's really all that it was. Good for him to, you know, have a new relationship with the new organization. Things got strained there, and it would be better to start over. Those 9 years were great, but the ending was tough, and it was time to move on. You know, and we're thankful that the Steelers were able to get compensation for him, and everybody wins here.
Was there any contact between Antonio and Ben since week 17?
You know what? I'm not sure about that. You know, it's hard for me to speak for Antonio. That's probably a better question for those gentlemen. My focus with Antonio was never looking backwards, but looking forward. You know, we kind of knew once we met with the Steelers, we met with Mr. Rooney, the general manager, Kevin Colbert, down in South Florida a couple weeks ago. We knew that both sides agreed it would be best to work on a trade, and that's all we've been focused on since that time.
Drew, 2 more contract questions. In the last 48 hours, were there any other serious contenders? Did you negotiate a contract with any other team?
Well, I'm not going to comment about whether or not I negotiated with other teams, but I will share with you that there were other interested clubs. I'm not sure people realize just how many teams were interested in Antonio, but it was a very unique situation in that this is the first time that I can remember a player with 3 years left on his contract got guaranteed money added to his deal and got a raise without adding anything, without adding any years. Not every team in the league would do that. Not every team has done that. In fact, I don't know that anyone has. So credit to John Gruden, Mike Mayock, the owner, Mark Davis. This was a very bold move by the Oakland Raiders, and we're excited that it worked out that way.
Drew, what happened with the Bills?
I'm not sure. I think that's, you know, Brandon Bean came out with a very eloquent statement. He said that they looked into it with the Steelers, and they decided to not pursue the trade, and we respect that. So, you know, the Bills decided it wasn't a great fit for them, and you know, it just didn't work out. So we moved on and started talking to the Raiders, and Antonio is very happy to be in Oakland. Wish the Bills the best.
Did Antonio not want to go there? Last question. Did he just not want to go there?
You know what? I don't know that there was ever an option for us, quite frankly. We never got in that position, and it really wasn't something that it was up to us to decide. I don't think the Steelers and the Bills were able to work something out.
So there it is right there. I thought that was a really, really good interview. I mean, I watched that interview and then I said, I got to use that audio. I got to rewind that audio and play it back again and record it and all that. So that's what I was able to do. Hopefully you enjoyed it and took some nuggets away from that as well. And you got to give Mike Mayock a lot of credit. You know, Drew Rosenhaus said he's been in the game 31 years and you wouldn't know that this was Mike Mayock's first time negotiating a contract. I got to give him a lot of credit for that because that was one of the biggest concerns that we had as a fan base, wondering how Mike Mayock was going to be able to be on the contract negotiation side of things. Not just the players that are coming into the league, the draft side. I think he's going to excel at that. But how is he going to do with contracts and all that good stuff? Well, according to Drew Rosenhaus, one of the best agents in the league, one of the longest agents in the league, been there around forever, like he said, 31 years. He did a damn good job. You know, it didn't seem like he was a first-year guy, and he gave John Gruden a lot of credit, gave the Raiders a lot of credit, gave Mike Mayock a lot of credit, Mark Davis a lot of credit. I'm not mad. It sounds all good. Again, we have to see what the production is going to look like in 2019 on the field, but it sounds like everything shook out really well, and it also lets me know and lets me feel like the Raiders are going to do everything they can to buy a dynamic offense. Now, they got AB, wide receiver number 1. Who knows what the tight end position is going to look like? Is Jared Cook going to come back? Who knows? Who's going to be the wide receiver across from him? I still would have no problem with them going and drafting a wide receiver in the 2nd round, like a Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State. Maybe you got to hope that he's there in the 4th round since you don't have that 3rd round pick. Maybe you hope he's there in the 4th round. Maybe you go for a N'Keal Harry in the 2nd round. I'm not sure. You got to get a young stud because he's got to develop alongside Antonio Brown. So similar to what Pittsburgh did with Juju Smith-Schuster, you could evolve him into that number 1 wide receiver. Similar to, like I said, what Pittsburgh did with Juju. So it's going to be interesting to see their approach, but I think most of their offense attack is going to come through free agency, which, as we all know, is opening. Well, the tampering period is opening on Monday, and The official league year starts on Wednesday, March 13th. So the Raiders still have money to spend. Please believe that. Who knows what they're going to do with the running back position? Is Le'Veon Bell in play? We don't know. Is Marshawn Lynch going to come back now that Antonio Brown is already locked in? You know, I saw some reports on Twitter that said he was more intrigued to come back now that Antonio Brown's going to be there. Who knows? I don't know what's true. I don't know what's false, but we will see. So I just wanted to share that interview. I thought it was very good, and I thought it was great for Raider Nation to be able to hear that Mike Mayock, new GM, is doing some good things with the Oakland Raiders. Coming up at segment number three, you've heard my thoughts in two segments now. Your thoughts coming up. Segment number three, calls from that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line all about AB at 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are. Final segment of today on the Locked On Raiders podcast. On this Sunday, March the 10th, I felt a little bit need to go ahead and jump into the lab a little bit early talking about AB. This whole podcast has been about Antonio Brown. We'll get into other free agents as the week goes on. Of course, free agency opening up this week. But right now, this is all dedicated to Antonio Brown. And these calls that you're about to hear all came in after the Antonio Brown news broke, so some of them are after being out at the club all night, some are after being at the bar all night, some are just after being at the house all night with a couple drinks in their hands. So this is raw Raider Nation sound immediately following the announcement of Antonio Brown to the Raiders. So let's start things off with Joe and KC. He's calling to give his take on the trade for Antonio Brown.
Hey, what up, Q? It's your boy Joe out here at KC. I'm sure everybody's heard the news about AB. Just want to drop my little two cents on it. Initially, no, I didn't want to have AB because I thought we were going to have to give up one of the first round picks, and because of his age, I didn't think it was necessary. But I'm loving what Mayock did with the three and the five. Man, that's gold right there. We fleeced those guys, so I'll take that all day. Now we have an elite Hall of Fame receiver with Carr. I still think that we need a size guy that can that a Carr can put it up to and have go get it. AB can, kind of show some of the young guys. I think we still need to draft another young receiver that he can kind of groom and get, have get better like he did with, Juju and, James Washington, just all of the different cats that have come through, the Steelers since then. We still got a lot to do. We got our 4 and the 35 though. We still have those. The fact that we were able to hold on to those, I love that. So we got a lot to build around. We got a free agency coming up. So I'm liking what Mayock and Gruden are doing so far. That's all I have to say about it. Ready to Joe out.
All right, good stuff right there from my man Joe in KC. Love to hear from him, and let's keep this thing moving. Raider Al in Georgia. He's calling to give his thoughts on AB to the Raiders and how he's come around on the trade due to the compensation.
Yo, Q, what's going on, my brother? Raider Al from Georgia. All right, man, it's finally done. AB in Oaktown. I was on record as being against it, but, when I looked at the compensation, it really wasn't bad. We didn't give up none of our first four picks. The guaranteed money is only around $30 million, which Khalil Mack wanted $90, not comparing the players, but it really wasn't that bad. But the pressure is going to be on Derek Carr now. I mean, DC, can you get him the ball on a consistent basis? Because you're going to have to get that man the ball. If Antonio Brown don't get the ball, you know what happens. Hopefully he'll put the Pittsburgh stuff behind him and actually just, come to Raider Nation and play ball. Raider Nation for life. Al.
Great stuff right there from my man Raider Al, and I think that a lot of Raider Nation, including myself, feel the same way, man. I was very, very skeptical about trading for Antonio Brown because I thought it was going to take a first-round draft pick, but come to find out a third and a fifth, you give him the guaranteed money, but who cares? You got to give that money to somebody. Might as well give it to somebody that you know is going to go out there and earn it and has earned it over the years. So, yeah, Raider Al, I'm right there. I'm with you. But he had to call back right now. He wanted to give his thoughts on what the Raiders might want to do with the draft now that they acquired Antonio Brown. It's a short but sweet call from Raider Al in Georgia.
Q, Raider Al, one more thing. I was on record saying that I wanted to draft defense the first three picks. So since we got Antonio Brown, why not get another stud wide receiver to go on the other side? Because let's face it, Jordy Nelson, he's not going to be there much longer if he makes the team. Seth Roberts is so-so. Aitman, you got to remember, he was a seventh-round pick. And also, Derek Carr, once we get you those weapons, you got to step up, brother. Raider Nation for life. Out.
All right. I still think that the Raiders are going to really focus on defense in the draft and offense through free agency, but we will find out. So good thoughts right there from Raider Al the second time. All right, now let's keep this thing moving. WAP, you know, he's always calling, and he's very passionate and emotional himself. Needless to say, this is a very happy WAP calling to speak on the trade. He speaks on what the most important part of this trade really, really was. Here he is. Here's WAP.
Hey, Q, what up, WAP? Man, I'm so happy about Antonio Brown getting traded to the Raiders. I'm more happy that they didn't get rid of their draft capital. They didn't sacrifice a one to get Antonio Brown. I think that shows very good qualities, especially the fact that they were able to hold steady and not just jump the gun and try to overpay for somebody. Even if you weren't a fan of Antonio Brown or John Gruden or Mike Mayock, you should be a fan now that they were able to get one of the top receivers who the Steelers were going to overpay to keep him. Or somebody was going to overpay for him. We stayed firm. We didn't show our hand. And we got what we wanted. We got a number one receiver. A legit number one receiver. I also like to call him AKA Lil Rax with that blonde mustache. But either way, you should be happy. The Raiders still got the draft picks. They're ready to go, baby. This is a sign of good things. I like what I'm seeing. That made me happy. As a Raider fan, nothing makes me happier than the fact that they were able to do good business. I like that. I want to see this team get better, and I definitely want to see more of the responsibility of the manager and the coach making sure that they're not just throwing away potential good options for the Raiders. So that's all I got to say. WAP's out. I'm freaking ecstatic right now. I'm ready to take my Amari Cooper jersey and switch it over to Brown. I have no problems taking the numbers and switching them. All right, WAP out.
All right, good stuff, WAP. Definitely appreciate that. Now my man Victor in Cali, he calls after a night of being out on the town a little bit or having a few drinks at least, talk about the trade as it went down late Saturday night. Here's Victor in Cali.
Hey, Q, it's Victor in Cali. Hey, I tweeted you, but I also wanted to, like, state this for the record. Before I was really against getting Antonio Brown, but looking at what the Raiders gave up for him, it's not that bad. When you look at the overall trade and value, we got rid of Amari Cooper and got a first-round pick. In his place, we gave up a third and a fifth and got Antonio Brown. Yeah, he's going to cost a little more, but Amari Cooper is going to cost a lot. So essentially what we did was we gave up a wide receiver, a number one, that had a lot of drops, for the best wide receiver in the league. And in exchange, we got a first-round pick in exchange for a third and a fifth. I think overall that's a great trade. I'm kind of liking now what John Gruden's doing. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Great stuff, my man. I ain't mad at you, man. Sometimes you gotta sip on that drink a little bit, you know, a little something. And I was sipping on mine on Saturday night as well, but it's funny. As soon as I gave up and said, you know what, I'm just going to go to bed and I'll worry about it tomorrow and all that good stuff, boom, that's when it broke. So I guess next time I'm waiting on something, I should just go to bed early, right? Go to bed early and then it'll happen and then I can really be on top of it. But Victor wasn't done there. He had to call back one more time just to clarify his position originally on the feelings about the AB trade and how it's changed due to compensation, similar to what Raider Al in Georgia was saying. A short but sweet call.
Hey, Kira, it's Victor from Cal again. Hey, look, I just had to call back to set the record straight. I was really against getting Antonio Brown before, but that's when the rumors were we're going to give up a first or a second. Giving up a third and a fifth changes the game. So, yeah, I'm fine with what they did. So, anyway, that's the only reason why, if you want to call it a flip-flop, I did not want to give up a first-round pick or a second at number 35. All right, that's all I got to say. Peace out.
All right, good stuff right there, Victor and Cali, the second time. Still appreciate that. And Daryl in L.A., he's calling to give his thoughts on the A.B. trade. He's not actually 100% sold, but I think he's more on the side of a good trade but rather than a bad trade. But you can hear it for yourself. Here's Daryl in L.A.
Yo, Daryl in L.A. I don't know, man. Third and a fifth for A.B. Listen, on talent, it's worth it. It's on talent, it's worth it. I don't know if the guy's a team wrecker. I don't know, but you know, straight up, third and fifth for AB's talent. Okay, all right. $50 million over the next 3 years. So something, what, 17 a year? Well, yeah, for a top tier receiver, that's about right. You got to spend the money on something, right? I mean, Cooper would have made at least 15 if he had been re-signed. So it's not like, not like we're going to lose a whole lot of money off of it. It's only 3 years. I don't know. All right. We'll see how that works out. Then again, man, Raiders don't draft well. So a third round and a fifth round pick, probably would have been a bust anyways. Who knows? So at least you're going to get a talented player. Just hope it's a lot better than Martavis Bryant. All right, Q. Later.
All right, good stuff right there. Daryl in L.A., Victor in Cali a couple times. WAP, Raider Allen, Georgia a couple times. And Joe in KC, I wanted those all to be separate because those are all immediate reaction to the Antonio Brown trades. Like, as soon as they happened throughout the morning between the time that the news broke and the time I started to record this podcast on Sunday afternoon, I thank them all for checking in with me. And I thank everyone who hit me up on Twitter. And a lot of folks hit me up on Twitter. Matter of fact, I got a really good direct message that I think I should probably share this real quick before we wrap this up. It's from my man Hunter. He said, "My boy Q, I've been having a few beverages this fine Saturday night, and I'm sitting at a table of Texans fans as the news blipped on my phone. While jumping up and down with no shame in public has satisfied some of the initial adrenaline, I need to share my excitement with someone who will understand. Nothing but optimism coming from this corner of H-Town. DC is the answer, and we're giving him all the ammo he needs to prove it. Just win, baby. Welcome home, Mr. Big Chest. Ordering a custom jersey with that title within the week." That's from my man Hunter. He's in H-Town. I definitely appreciate that. So, yeah, if you tweet me and you send a message, a direct message to me, I'll share it on the podcast as well. And I thought that that was a really good one, so I had to do that. I've obviously had a few other messages from other folks, and I definitely appreciate that at all times. But overall, man, pretty good feelings. Feel really good on this Sunday afternoon. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Again, this is going to be the Sunday/Monday. When we speak again, it will be Tuesday, and tampering period will be wide open like some old-school TV antennas, and we'll have a lot to talk about. So thank everyone from Raider Nation for listening. Thank you, everyone from Raider Nation, for chiming in and being a part of the show. And until next time, as always, Raider Nation, welcome Antonio Brown. I refuse to say Mr. Big Chest, but welcome Antonio Brown, and just win, baby.